last week, I'm going to review for purposes of those who weren't here. And if I'm not talking loud enough, holler. It's a huge subject in God's Word. And really, what I shared last week and what I'm going to share this week is just a small part of it. You know, and we as, you know, sons of God need to go to the Word and look at His Word and work the information and look and see what else is in there, because we could be here for weeks on this one subject. But last week, we looked at the love of God, and we looked at the Greek words agape or phileo, and the definition for those words are an attachment to, affection for, care for, or to have a fondness toward. In the scriptures, these are used in a synonymous fashion, and I made mention that if you wanted a greater understanding of that subject, that Daniel Bader's book, Dwelling in God, is a great book, and you can order it from Scripture Consulting. So we looked at God's love, and in John 3:16, it said that God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that was God's heart toward us in His giving and His love. We also saw that God is love, and He's the originator of love. We saw that God's love is a great love in Ephesians, and that God's great love is the foundation for His rich mercy and grace by which He has given life to those who believe regarding His Son, Jesus Christ. We also saw in Titus that God's love toward mankind, we didn't earn that love. He freely gave it to us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. And we also saw in Romans that God's love is shed abroad in our hearts when we get born again. We also looked at, in John 4:16, it talks about God's love, and that we saw with the Greek definitive article with before the word love, that this differentiates this love from all other kinds of love, and that this love is the right kind of love. It's a great love that originates from God. We also looked at how Jesus Christ loved. He loved us that He freely gave up His life for us, you know, that we might have life, and have life in every manifest, in every category, body, soul, and spirit. You know, when we get born again, part of that being born again is, yes, we receive the Spirit of God, but we're also saved, we're also delivered in every category in our lives, spirit, mental, and physical. It's a complete package, total, you know. We get that deliverance, and that deliverance is still available today when we have need for it. And we looked at Jesus Christ and how He loved. And He loved as the Father loved, and He loved His disciples, and He loved them to the end. He loved all of mankind, even when they didn't deserve to be loved. And I was thinking about that to this morning, is thinking that, you know, people need to be loved when they needed the, you know, when they deserve it the least, you know. And that's how God loved us. We didn't, you know, we were no great shakes. We saw that we were no great shakes. And yet in our hearts and lives, yes, we're to love the brethren, but we're also to love those that aren't the brethren. And they see that love. That's what draws most people to the Word of God, is that love that we have in our hearts for one another and the love that we have for God. So, I'm just going to read this in conclusion that I had written down here. It says, in conclusion, we saw that God is love, and He is the originator of love. God's love is a great love and is the right kind of love as opposed to other kinds of love. His love is giving and is the foundation for His rich mercy and grace. He loved us first when we were dead so we could love. Jesus Christ also loved as His Father loved, as He laid down His life for us, so that we could have everlasting life and God's Spirit in us. And because of that Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So today we're going to look at the qualities of love, and we're also going to look at the Word's instruction regarding love to us, you know, and under that, you know, the ability that we have to love, the commandment in the commandments in the word concerning love, the how to love, and then the end result of that love. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a great chapter about love and about the qualities of love. In this chapter, the Greek word charity is agape, which is the noun form of agapeo, and it means love. And in this chapter, and I have it in your notes, the Greek definitive article is used three times in verse 4, one time in verse 8, and one time in verse 13. So as I read it, I'm going to insert that if it's not actually there. In some cases, it is. Because that definitive article separates that love, that right kind of love, as opposed to all other kinds of love. So anyway, let's begin. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am becoming as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all believing so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. That's some wonderful stuff in there, you know. And yet if God says if it's not done with love, there's no profit in it. You can see how big that is, you know, how big that love is. Verse 4, the love suffereth long and is kind. The love envieth not. The love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly or dishonorably, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked or upset, thinketh no evil or considers no evil. The love rejoiceth not in iniquity or injustice, but rejoices in the truth. When I read this, rejoices not in iniquity, it always makes me think of you know, like when there's an accident on the side of the road and everybody slows down and they're looking, you know, you know, because they want to see the bad thing that happened, you know. And it's a bad thing. What do they call it? Rubbernecking? Rubber. Yeah, you know. But that's what I think of when I see that, you know. The rubberneckers of this world, you know. The love of God doesn't rejoice in iniquity when something bad happens to somebody, you know. It rejoices in the truth of God's word. The love beareth all things. And this word beareth is the Greek word stego, and it means to put a lid on it or to cover. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The love never faileth. And that word faileth is actually falls. The love of God never falls. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail or become inactive or idle. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass or a mirror darkly. And those mirrors in biblical times were metal, so they were kind of wavery. So when you looked in them, you didn't really see very good. You don't really see like we look in a mirror today. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, believing. Now abideth believing, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, the right kind of love. So we see that love is long-suffering, it's kind, it's not envious, it doesn't boast itself, it seeketh not her own. You know, many years ago, a lot of us were taught that God's first, others a second. And where do we come? We're down there. We're down there. Seeketh not her own. The love doesn't seek her own. It doesn't, it's not a braggart. It's not envious. It's not easily upset. It doesn't consider evil. It beareth all things. It covers all things. So it's just some great, great qualities about how the love never falls. Okay, so now we're going to look at the Word's instruction regarding loves. We're going to turn to 1 John chapter 3. We know that when we got born again, that we received the gift of Holy Spirit. We have that Spirit within us, and we saw last week in Romans how when we receive that, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. In 1 John chapter 3, we covered this too last week, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. I think on your sheets you only have verse 1 listed, but we're going to look at 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right this very second. When we got born again, it's always that eternal now. Right now, we're sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I am in awe and humbled that God loved me so much. He wanted me to be his kid. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Go to Romans chapter 5. We read this last week too, but I wanted to read it again in this context of that we have that ability to love, because we are sons of God, because we have that Holy Spirit. Therefore, verse 1 of Romans 5, therefore, being justified by the right way of believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience or proven integrity, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So go to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So God says, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that it loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Because we're born of God, we have that ability to love. Because we have that Holy Spirit, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And it says, let us. Okay, so we have that ability to love as God loves. But do we do it? Does that let us is because we have freedom of will, that love, when we walk in that love, it's a free will decision. It's in the category of the renewed mind, and we're going to look at that too. So, in 1 John chapter 5, just flip the page over, and verse 1, whosoever believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, And everyone that loveth him, God, that begat, loveth him also, and that would be Jesus Christ, that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we leave God and keep, when we love God and keep his commandments. And this word keep in here is the Greek word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. So it's P-O-I-E-O, and it means to do, to make, to practice, to make a practice of. So by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and he keep his, and keep, make a practice to do his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome or weighty. You know, it's really not that hard to love. It's actually easier to love than it is to hate. You know, when you think about it, you know, hatred takes a lot of work, and it does a lot of really, really bad things to you. Whereas, you know, love is healing, you know. When we got born again, God really healed us in every category of our lives. In 1 John 4:11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Simple enough. Chapter 3, verse 23. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment." You know, it's very, very clear and very, you know, well set forth in the word that God wants us to love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you don't need to turn there. In the first verse, it says, the first part of the first verse is, follow after charity, follow after love. That word follow is pursue, you know, and if you're going to pursue something, you're going to go for it. You're going to really go after it. And that's what God wants us to do, is to follow, to pursue after charity. So we saw that, we see that God commands us to love one another. And that is in the renewed mind category. So we're going to take a look at that. And that's the practical part. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. We have that ability. We have that commandment. Now we have to put it into action. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And that word followers, as many of us know, is to be imitators. You know, we're to be imitators of God. How did God love us? Well, that's what we're supposed to imitate. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. And walk is a verb, so it connotes action. You know, we're to walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savior. So we're to imitate God in love, and we're to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And I thought a lot about Jesus Christ's life and his walk with God. He literally walked and talked with God like all the time. And how he walked in love. And what did he do? What are some of the things that Jesus Christ did? Anybody?
Prayed.
He prayed. Do you think he prayed for people? Yeah. What else did he do?
Had compassion.
What?
Had compassion for others.
Yes, he had compassion for others. He healed. He cast out devil spirits. He fed people. He washed his disciples' feet, you know, which is, in that culture, was a big deal. You know, that was a big deal when you washed somebody's feet. He actually walked in love, and that's how we're supposed to walk. Okay. You know, it's pretty simple. Let's go to Colossians. Now, actually, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This chapter is a great chapter. on the renewed mind about putting on and putting off. And in verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And that word affection is to think, you know, to think on things that are above, not on things of the earth. And then we're going to go down to verse 12. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the uniting bond of perfectness. You know, verse 12, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. Love of God is kindness. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 13. We saw that the humbleness of mind, meekness. We saw the long-suffering in 1 Corinthians. We saw the forbearing that's mentioned in this in verse 13. You know, we also see forgiveness. You know, you don't think that when God loved us, he forgave us, you know. So really, when you love people, you forgive them, you know. You cover it up, like it talked about in Corinthians, about you cover, that love covers. And a lot of times, we need a great covering. But that put on is to clothe. That's what it means. To put on for the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even as if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, clothe yourselves with charity, which is the uniting bond of maturity. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 12. I know this is a little out of order, but I wanted to do this because Romans chapter 12, again, is a great chapter on the renewed mind. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, a logical divine service to God, and be not conformed or fashioned to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to be living sacrifice. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You know, he paid the price. He was, you know, paid that sacrifice by giving up his life. But God doesn't want us to give up our lives. You know what I mean? When we're supposed to imitate God and walk in love as Christ loved, we don't have to give up our lives because God wants us to be a living sacrifice. And in verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. That word dissimulation is the Greek word hypocrites. And in Greek plays, they use masks. You know, everybody's probably seen the happy mask and the sad mask. That's what they did when they did plays. They held the mask up in front of their face. And that's where this word comes from, dissimulation. If you have a mask, you're covering up, you know, you can't see what's underneath. And that's hypocrisy. You know, we know, we've all experienced, I'm sure, I know I have, where, you know, people say that they love you to your face, you know, and then they've turned around and you can hear them whispering. I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody. It's happened to me. I've heard it. So, you know. But that's hypocrisy, you know. God says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So we're to love without hypocrisy. Turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. It says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, the words through the Spirit or not into the text. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned, and that word unfeigned again is without hypocrisy, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Turn to chapter 4. So love without hypocrisy and love with fervently, intently, without ceasing. This is actually what that word means. In chapter 4, verse 8, and it says, above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So we see there again that that love covers a multitude of sins. And that's a quote from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. I just wrote on there, love covers or conceals all sins. The first part of that verse says that hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers or conceals all sins. That's God's love. And that's how we're to love. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love, and of God is in italics, so it's added, hereby perceive we the love, because he, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren as a living sacrifice. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, just like Jesus Christ did. He loved in deed and in truth. And that's God's heart for us, is that we love in deed and truth. Because we all have things that we're good at, that we can love by and give to people. You know, I mean, I know for myself that, you know, as a massage therapist, a lot of times I just, you know, am able to give of my talent to help somebody, to love them and help heal them up, you know. And that's part of loving in deed and in truth, you know. If your brother has a need, I think we do a great thing in this fellowship in that way, you know. I really see the hearts of people giving, you know. And that's how God would have us. To love in, not just in tongue and in word, but in deed and in truth. So, the last part of this is, I put it as the end result. And in chapter 2 of 1 John, we're going to read verses 5 and 6. I only have 5 written down. Chapter 2, verse 5, it says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought him also to walk even as he walked. Okay, the love of God, when we keep his word and do his commandments, the love of God is perfected in us. In verse 10 of this chapter, it says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is not occasion of stumbling in him. That's a good one, you know. Don't we all want to abide in his light? And when we do abide in that light, there's none occasion of stumbling in him. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5, it says, now the end or the outcome of the commandment is charity of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And then we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. The love of God is perfected in us as we walk in it. We love, we abide in the light. the end of the commandment, the outcome is charity of love unfeigned. In Romans chapter 8, everybody's there but me. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we're going to close in Romans chapter 8. Now I'm going to read it from the Working Translation. We're going to start in verse 35. I'm going to close out here. You can follow along in your Bibles. Verse 35, it says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction, or calamity, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Verse 36, even as it has been written, and this is quoted from Psalm 44, verse 22, for your sake you are being killed all the day long. You were considered as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, on the contrary, in all these things, we are super conquerors through him who loved us. In fact, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor spirit messengers, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor a high place, nor a deep place, nor any other created being will be able to separate us from God's love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's really something. Covers it all. Nothing can separate us from that love of God. So at the end of your sheet is a quote that I wrote down from Dr. Werwolf. It's called, love is a standard and attitude to live. Pretty much sums it up, you know. And God's love is such a great love to us. And, you know, I know that I'm going to keep working this, and I encourage you guys to work it yourselves, because this is just like the tip of the iceberg, you know. There is so much in there, you know. All you got to do is, I look at the book of 1 John, and to me, it's the whole book has a lot to do with love. Some great stuff in there. You know, the book of Ephesians, you know, the book of Colossians, just throughout the whole word, you see God's love and compassion that he had to his people, you know, and to us, you know. So thanks for allowing me to share. It was a great privilege.